Hey gang, welcome to another exciting edition of, what's the name of this show? It is the Slattery Applebag Financial Report, and it is fabulous financial Filbert fun philosophical Friday coming to you on Wednesday. Filbert, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. How about that crypto?
How about that crypto? What about it?
Well, it's Tuesday evening, and it's above $4,000 now.
Wow. Who knew? Who knew?
I don't know. Well, it is awfully volatile. I'm sure somebody knew.
Okay, so we don't do the whole show on finance, but I do like the name, the Slattery Applebag Financial Report. So one piece of financial news is that Trump has nominated somebody for one of the vacant seats on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. And it's a goy! It's a goy!
So, overjoy.
Overjoy. I think it's worth mentioning, before going on to a larger discussion of the Fed, that the outlook seems to be now that the Fed is not going to increase interest rates this year anymore. In fact, there may, as early as September and very likely, at least by December, be rate cuts. That's a big development on the financial markets. At least, I'm pretty sure he's not Jewish. He looks like he's got a tiny bit of a Jewy look to him. And his name is Stephen Moore, but I've looked at his background, and, you know, he's Club for Growth, and he's just kind of an old-school, low-tax guy. I don't know what I think of him as a Fed governor, but he's not Jewish, as far as I can tell. He's not Jewish, and that's what more can you ask for?
I guess you can have a big nose and not be part of the big nose tribe. I don't know. It's a really bad joke. I'm sorry.
Well, whatever. So we've got that. Let's see. So we've got Jerome Powell. He's the head of the Fed, and he's not Jewish. You've got Michelle W. Bowman, and she's not Jewish. I don't know. Bowman isn't necessarily a Jewish name, but I think that's her married name, not her maiden name. Lael Brainard. Brain. Well, if she got brain in her name, she can't be all that. She can't be stupid, right? She's blonde and blue-eyed, wide-set eyes, very un-Jewish looking. I think she grew up overseas. She might have grown up in Poland or Czechoslovakia or somewhere, but she's not Jewish. I mean, I think all of these people, they're probably all, like, compromised anyway in another way. But, okay, so that's three. There's this Richard Clarida, and I've looked at him, and he's not Jewish. You know, he's got a background in finance. And so, you know, is it this really going to change things all that much? Because I remember when Powell was nominated to take over from Janet Yellen, you said, well, new boss, same as the old boss. But, so Richard Clarida. And then the other, that makes one, two, three, four. Then there's a Randall Quarles. And he was nominated last October. We talked about him. And he's very un-Jewy looking and pretty sure he's not Jewish. He had been a founder and managing director of the Sinosure Group. Sinosure's actually, they were kind of interesting. Sinosure makes equipment that removes tattoos, which is something I've targeted as a potential growth industry. What do you think, Filbert?
I was just curious on how we're defining a Jew. Is it whether their birth mother is eligible for citizenship in Israel?
It's okay. In this case, it's whether I can find any family connection to Jews. I mean, like any Jewish ancestry whatsoever. So I'm not finding anything. It's possible somewhere back there there's some Jewish ancestry.
So like not even half Jewish, right?
I'm not even, no. So I'm not seeing anybody who seems to be half Jewish or quarter Jewish or anything anything that's out there. So,
not a coincidence.
Yeah, so those are the five, and then of course Stephen Moore would be the sixth, and so that's, there are seven seats on the Board of Governors, and one is vacant, and six are held by Goys now. And of course, it wasn't that long ago that the majority of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors seats were Jews, and now there's not a Jew among them. There's one vacant seat. We'll see what happens with that. Now, of course, when you get down to it, there's been this whole Jew d'état. It seems that Trump is pretty much folded to the Jew d'état. But so maybe we're just like, you know, what do you call it, grasping at straws or something? But there's this open market committee that sets monetary policy on a day-to-day basis, and it includes all of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, plus always the head of the New York Federal Reserve. And these people are not selected by the president. These people are selected by the banks that own shares in the Federal Reserve. And this isn't conspiracy theory stuff. The Federal Reserve banks, there's 12 banks, the most important being the New York Bank, issue shares. And I don't think you can look up and see which banks own how many shares. I don't think that's public information.
Closely guarded secret.
Yeah, I don't think that's public information. But it's not a secret that there are shares, and it's the shareholder banks that select the president of these 12 regional Federal Reserve banks. Now, the most important one is the New York Fed, and that is headed by John C. Williams, who, again, is not a Jew. He's not a Jew. Then there's 11 others, and if you ever look on your $1 bills or other dollar bills, but the one is probably the easiest. You see a big letter on it, like, one side, it's, you got the George Washington in the middle, and then what is it, on the right or the left? I should have a dollar in front of me. But on the left side, you've got a big green seal, and then on the right side, is it, where you've got the letter? Hold on a second. I can't believe I'm getting this confused. No, actually, now I'm looking at a dollar bill. And so you've got George Washington in the middle. On the right side, it has a big green seal, which actually says Department of the Treasury. Okay, but at the top, of course, it says Federal Reserve Note, because it's the Federal Reserve that issues it. On the left of George Washington, you see a black seal with a letter in the middle. The letters A through L, what I'm looking at is an L, and it says Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, California. So B is the New York one, that's the B, but there's 12 of them. So you got A is Boston, B is New York, C is, I believe, Philadelphia, D is Cleveland, I think, E is Richmond, F is Atlanta, G is Chicago, H is St. Louis, I is Minneapolis, J is Kansas City, K is Dallas, and L is San Francisco. So just in case you didn't know, and I think I got C and D correct. So it's going from east to west. But at any rate, so there's those 12 banks. The New York guy is always on the open market committee. And then from the remaining 11, four of them will shuffle in and out of the Board of Governors. So currently those other, will shuffle in and out of the open market committee. And those four currently are James Bullard of the, he is the Federal Reserve Bank President of St. Louis, and he seems to be not a Jew. Charles L. Evans of the Chicago Fed, and he appears to be not a Jew. You have Esther L. George, and I don't know, I haven't looked into her background, but just from her picture and her name, I would say probably not a Jew. And finally, you've got Eric Rosengren of the Boston Fed, and I think he's a Jew.
Yeah, but you know who wasn't a Jew?
Who?
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson's not a Jew. Not a Jew.
Not a Jew.
Not a Jew. Speaking of the St. Louis Fed, so they have a president that is, they're selected by the shareholding banks. They also have each Federal Reserve Bank, each of these regional banks, has its own board of directors. And I don't know if you remember Herman Cain, who ran for president. He was the Godfather Pizza president.
Yes, I do.
You remember him?
Uh-huh.
You know, he was on the board of directors of the St. Louis Federal Reserve.
Well, no, I didn't know.
Well, he was. Sometimes when I have nothing else to do, I just go on Wikipedia I use Wikipedia a lot for chasing down Jews because it's not the final word, but it's gotten pretty accurate. And there was a time when the Jews were trying to erase that stuff off of.
Aren't they still?
No, they gave up. And
really,
yeah,
really?
And you know the Jimmy Wales, who has a background in pornography, but he is one of the two founders of Wikipedia, and I think he might be Jewish, or either him or his partner. I can't remember. It's not as if Wikipedia is a non-Jewish source, but you look on it, and they will, for people who have any kind of high profile, they will usually talk about their ethnic background, and it is a quick and easy source that is fairly reliable for who is a Jew and who's not a Jew. I mean, and the thing is, if they say somebody's a Jew, most of the time there is like a little a link that you can click on, and it'll take you to, you know, an interview they gave with the New York Times where they say that they have a Jewish mother or something like that. Now, you have among the Federal Reserve people who are not currently the Federal Reserve Bank presidents who aren't there, you do have, well, you got in Minneapolis, you got this Indian guy, Neil Kashkari. I see him sometimes being interviewed. And you also have Robert S. Kaplan, who I would say is a Jew. So, but the thing is, it's remarkable that you have the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee, and out of the, let's see, right now, 10 members, the 10 current members, and it will soon be 11 when this new guy gets installed on the Board of Governors, out of the 11 members of that committee, to have only one Jew is remarkable. Does that really matter, though? Does it make the Fed and central banking any less Jewish?
No, I don't think so. Do you?
Not immediately. To an extent, it does. There's two things about the Federal Reserve. It sets policy, and I think its policy is, you know, there's going to be less people saying, well, is it good for the Jews? So I think there's going to be less, the policy is going to be less concerned with, is it good for the Jews? But the thing is, after decades of Jewish leadership of that organization, where you had a Jewish chairman of the Fed and a lot of the time a Jewish vice chairman.
That's what they set up the whole system, really, didn't they?
They had a role in setting up the system from the beginning. And so a lot of the Fed bureaucracy is going to be Jews. And the thing is, I think a lot of the value of the Federal Reserve for the tribe is that there's probably a fair amount of information leaks from, and I think that those leaks are going to have a bias towards being Jews leaking to fellow Jews. It's my suspicion. I have no evidence of it, but I don't know. Does anybody want to try to prove me wrong? It's a suspicion.
No, I don't. You may be spot on.
I may be spot on. I may be wrong. Who knows? But
and hey, I have a question about the when the Jews changed their last names. Is there any kind of correlation to what kind of last names they tend to change to, or is it usually random? I don't know. I never thought about that.
So, you know, you've got, when are they changing their names? And in some cases, you got a lot of famous cases of people in Hollywood, right? Hollywood actors.
I mean, Sumner Redstone, and doesn't that translate to Rothstein, you know?
That was his name, and so in that case, he simply translated. You've got the case of former Secretary of State John Kerry, you know, who might actually run for president this time. He was the Democratic nominee in 2004 who lost to George Bush.
He's Catholic, isn't he?
Oh, he's Irish, right? No, he's not Irish. Not a drop of Irish blood. He's half Jewish, and the rest is like French and something else. I'm not sure what the other... He's a quarter French, half Jewish, and I can't remember what the other quarter is, but it's not Irish. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a drop of Irish blood. But when his grandfather immigrated from the Austro-Hungarian Empire to the United States, the story is he threw a dart at a map of Ireland, and it landed on County Kerry. And that's why his name is John Kerry, because his grandfather's birth name was Cohn, C-O-H-N, which is like Cohen. It's Cohen from, you know, that, I guess, Bohemia and Czechoslovakia. That's in modern-day Czech Republic is where they were from. So there's different ways where they get names. Sometimes it's just, they spoke Yiddish, and the American people at Ellis Island didn't understand, and so they just wrote down as best they could. And there's all sorts of stuff.
Okay. Oh, interesting. I never considered that till just now.
Yeah, so that's the Fed. We should still end the Fed, but if you give me a choice, would I rather have Jews in these leadership positions at the Fed or not? I would say not. So that's good. So that was a little. I mean, with granted the Mueller report, which we can talk about in a little bit. I think the whole Mueller investigation. Doesn't matter that it didn't issue an indictment. It doesn't matter that it's exonerated Trump from these ridiculous charges. I think the damage is done after 2 years plus of this investigation, plus the preceding investigations that the Comey was doing with the FBI and whatnot.
I believe you're right. They probably felt like, or at least the media had probably felt like they have exhausted the effort.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, CNN.
It's over.
Mm-hmm, CNN.
There comes a time when it's all over, I guess.
Yeah. CNN and NBC are going to try to push it some more. They kind of have to push it some more because they've been pushing it so hard, and so they're going to have to try to say, well, it's not really an exoneration and this and that, but they'll probably slowly pivot to other things to complain about, and the damage is done, and now. So many of our people are sick of Trump, and he doesn't really seem to, things could change, but he doesn't seem to be pushing for the policies that he was elected to push for. And we have a Zerg rush at the southern border.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I heard Sean Hannity brag about how there was 57 more miles of border that was fenced up or secured, and I don't know. I wonder what fraction of 100% of that is.
So yeah, we ought to talk a little bit about Sean Hannity. We're coming up on the break, but on the one hand, as close as that election was, and Sean Hannity was the only person in the mainstream media to come out for Donald Trump, and of course, a lot of the Fox News. Voted for Trump, the Fox News viewers. On the one hand, I would say Trump probably wouldn't have been elected if it wasn't for Sean Hannity. But we'll talk about the other hand on the other side of the break.
Hi. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. So, Philbert, we were talking about Sean Hannity. You mentioned Sean Hannity.
And yes, sir.
On the one hand, I think Trump may very well not have been elected in the first place without Sean Hannity. On the other hand, from the very get-go, Sean Hannity has been he's been pushing this narrative that Trump is accomplishing great things. And I remember, like 2 years ago, very early on, when we were disappointed, well, there was an initial round of disappointment, especially with the airstrike on Syria, that first airstrike on Syria, which really didn't amount to much, but still was really dangerous and stupid. And whether it was before or shortly thereafter, I remember listening to Sean Hannity, and he had this long list of Trump's great accomplishments, which were empty accomplishments. And of course, you know, he's the type of person that would be pushing this narrative that, yes, the wall is being built when it's not being built. And, you know, Kirstjen Nielsen, the Secretary of Homeland Security, basically has proposed, well, let's just say whenever we're repairing an existing fence, that counts as building a wall. And so Sean Hannity has been very supportive of Donald Trump, which on the one hand, like when Donald Trump still seemed pretty hopeful, okay, that's fine. But on the other hand, you know, what's so great about Donald Trump? Oh, yeah, some of his accomplishments are, well, look what he's been defending Israel. Oh, he's a great president. Look, he's keeping his promise to be Israel's best friend isn't that great. Well, of course, it's not great. And he did promise to be Israel's best friend. I said from the very beginning that I thought he, and I think it was true, that he was trying to do a little bit of his own divide and conquer of the Jews, and he was playing nice with the pro-Israel lobby and the playing nice with Wall Street, and at the same time was going hard after the Zio media, the fake news media, which he certainly was, and was going hard at the Jewish pro-immigration lobby. But he seems to have lost. He's still going to go after the media. I don't expect that to change, but he seems to have, at least for the time being, put up the white flag on immigration, and he's doubling down on the pro-Israel stuff. And so people are blackpilled. And to me, it's not that, and I know I've said it ad nauseum, but it's not that this was his plan all along or he was part of their plan all along. I think it is a matter of he got elected and they scrambled and they've, had all sorts of things, a Mueller investigation and, pussy hat demonstrations and all of this gaslighting of people. And they got the better of them, and they won the chess match. And they basically won. Things could change. Things could turn around. Probably they won't. We'll probably just have to cope and see what happens. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's sad. I don't know. I remember thinking that I was doubtful about a wall, even during his campaign, because I knew, and a lot of other people I'm sure know this, but like a physical wall is a lot harder to undo than a law,
mm-hmm.
like just on paper. Or
and so they're going to resist it more.
Yeah, and therefore I pretty much knew that wasn't going to happen, at least in full. From the Gulf Coast to the Pacific Ocean, but
I didn't. And I thought to an extent it was symbolic, but if it was only symbolic, they wouldn't have pushed so hard against it. The fact is it would work. And you don't necessarily have to have a wall everywhere, but walls and physical barriers are important. But one of the things that bothered me during the campaign was when he kept insisting that Mexico was going to pay for it. I thought that was weak, because if a wall is important, we should be willing to pay for it. The things I want
seem like a politician's language.
The things I want, I'm willing to pay for. And for instance, I want national health insurance. We don't necessarily have to talk about that today. And I think it's important that we pay for it. I think the whole idea of when they talk about Medicare for all and everything, I've read the proposal. It's been out there for years and years. It's H.R. 671. Every year, it's who is the black congressman from California? He's very ancient by now. He was Me Too'd. Conyers. John Conyers has been, for past 20 years, introducing this Medicare for All bill. And, of course, it's soak the rich. And I have no trouble soaking the rich for wars for Israel. I don't want to pay for the war. I don't want the wars for Israel in the first place. And if you're going to soak the rich for things that you don't want, and the rich, then you'll have potentially a powerful ally on your side, because the rich don't want to pay for things. But for things that are important, I'm willing to pay for them. And we shouldn't. And by saying, oh, Mexico's going to pay for it, well, of course Mexico's not going to pay for it. And then when you go out looking for the money, then you've given the Democrats a talking point. Oh, you said Mexico was going to pay for it. Now you're wasting our money. And that was, so I thought that was kind of stupid.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, I'm full of good points. That's why, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back. So let's finish up on the Mueller coup d'etat. So the point I was making was that even though Mueller has not come out and said, "Oh yes, Trump colluded with Russia," okay, so it seems to be a vindication of his position. But the damage seems to have been done. There's a lot of damage done. Last week. I think last week's show, I said, well, you know, there's a couple of things that Trump's done that I like. Not that I'm holding out a whole lot of hope that he's going to do the important things. One was that he had appointed this guy, Stephen Moore. The other was that on Thursday, the Treasury Department had announced that they were putting new sanctions on North Korea. And then Trump immediately came out and said, "No, no, you're not." And he tweeted out, "Because I like Kim Jong-un and I don't want to put more sanctions on." Well, I just read in the, I think, AP News. In Bloomberg. No, not Bloomberg. AP News. That Treasury Department said, "Wait a minute, no, yes, you are. We are going to put sanctions on North Korea," and they've overruled him. They've overruled Donald Trump on the sanctions on North Korea. So that's not good. That's all coup d'etat stuff. And, of course, who runs the Treasury Department? Stephen Mnuchin.
Oy vey.
Oy vey. So, jus d'etat. Here's one other headline. This is from Bloomberg. And so the Republicans in Congress, they are struggling to pass a $14 billion relief bill for Puerto Rico. Now, what's the population of Puerto Rico? I know Puerto Rico's tiny. It's a very tiny island. It's bigger than Rhode Island, but it's very tiny. And what's the population? Could it be a couple million, maybe? So, but $14 billion relief bill, that's a lot of money for a tiny little island. And apparently Donald Trump's complaining about it. And so this is complicating it. It's interesting that he's complaining about it. But, you know, on the one hand, he feels that we've already wasted a lot of money on Puerto Rico and they're not making good use of it. And that's probably all true. On the other hand, if Puerto Rico falls apart, these people all go to Florida where they're going to vote in the next election because they can vote. They can vote. All they have to do is move to Florida and they can vote in presidential elections and they can swing Florida. But even that, does it really matter anymore?
Well, how much does Puerto Rico cost?
It costs us money. I mean, obviously the best thing would be for Puerto Rico to become an independent country. But there's not that big of a...
I agree. I would support Puerto Rican independence.
But yeah.
What happens, like, when they can't take care of themselves, like, and they... let's just say, for hypothetical argument, like, they get in a war with Jamaica or something. And what do you think the United States would be, like, obligated to do?
I don't know. But... You know, then, of course, so there's three options for Puerto Rico. The one is independence, and they haven't had a strong enough independence movement, at least not during recent decades. Another is statehood, which would give them not just voting in the presidential election, which they don't currently do, but it would give them two senators, and so that's not good. Plus, you know, it would be another push towards making Spanish an official language. And the moment Spanish becomes an official language, English becomes, you know, because most English speakers don't speak Spanish. Spanish speakers are much more likely to speak some English. And so they would have preferential hiring in all government jobs and in a lot of company jobs because they speak Spanish and English. And the English-only speakers would be discriminated against. And, you know, that's obvious. But then the third option that they've been supporting all along is this free association, this commonwealth. So they're a commonwealth, which means they're U.S. citizens, they don't vote in the presidential elections, and they don't pay federal income tax. So it's actually a pretty good deal for them. They get the passports, they can move freely to the United States anytime they want. And all they're giving up is a vote in presidential election. They do vote in the primaries, though. They vote in the primaries. And they don't get a voting member of Congress, although they have a delegate they send to Congress, and he doesn't vote on the floor of the House. But they do vote in the congressional committees. So they have a vote in the committees, but not on the floor when things are finally being decided on. So it's a pretty sweet deal for them, and they're gonna keep it, and they'll get bailed out, and so that's that. Okay, one last thing on the Mueller probe. So one of the talking points has always been that there's been 34 indictments, right? So all of this malfeasance has been uncovered, and of course most of these, I think, out of the 34, is it like 26? Russian citizens were indicted for basically posting memes on Facebook. And, that's big-time interference. Now, the thing is, if you're a Russian citizen and you've been indicted under this witch hunt, and you're seeing how draconian, like the draconian penalties that they've been giving out to, like Manafort, you're not going to come over here and face... Why would you come over here to face trial? And, you're not going to. Now, the thing is, if somebody did come over, then in the course of discovery that they use as part of the trial process, where the prosecution would have to show its evidence, well, when they showed the evidence would be really scant. The people would probably be convicted anyway, but the evidence would be really, really scant. And so it's very low cost for Mueller to pretend, you know, these are kind of like make-believe indictments. You know that the person's not going to come, and then you know you're not going to have to show what the, you know, on what evidence these indictments are based on. And so then you get a talking point. Oh, 26 Russians indicted. But of course, an indictment's just an accusation. It's not a proof of anything, and you're not having to show the evidence. So that's just all a complete fantasy of fiction when they talk about these indictments. Okay, shall we move on to Jesse Smollett?
Yeah, not guilty, huh?
Not guilty.
No.
It's not guilty.
Charges were dropped.
Charges dropped. Why are the charges dropped? Is there lack of evidence?
I don't know. So, Rahm Emanuel didn't think so.
Rahm Emanuel, the chief of police, the whole police, they've got plenty of evidence. So who's dropping the charges?
I don't know.
It is Kim Fox. So Kim Fox, a 46-year-old elected state's attorney. It's an elected position. So the good people of Chicago voted for this black lady who said that she was going to stop prosecuting a lot of crime. And that's exactly what she's doing. She's going to be much more selective in who she prosecutes. She's not going to prosecute shoplifters or not charge them with felonies. The standard for charging somebody with a felony has been raised way up. She's not going to prosecute any like traffic violations. She's not going to prosecute minor crimes, which means it's basically and who does the shoplifting and who's much more likely to do the traffic violations? It's blacks. So she's just saying that blacks traffic laws and you know, shoplifting laws no longer apply to blacks. That's basically...
And faking hate crimes.
Yeah, and faking hate crimes. And so she's just said, oh, well, you know, he posted a $10,000 bond, and he's not going to give it back. So we've got the $10,000 out of it. And then he's done all this work for the community. And, of course, Tucker tonight disclosed what that work for the community was, and it was 18 hours of volunteer work at Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Push office in Chicago. So he stuffed some envelopes and then apparently reviewed some of their video propaganda or whatever and reviewed it and gave opinions on it. So going over and watching TV with the people at Jesse Jackson's office, that's the community service. And therefore, these 16 charges against him are all being dropped. And he's not even having, you know, like in the case of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft had to at least say that, well, had this gone to trial, I would have been found guilty. But it's not going to trial, so you know, it's fine. He doesn't even have to do that. Jesse Smollett can still walk around saying, I didn't lie, everything that my mama taught me not to do anything bad, and I've never done anything bad. And he can walk around and say that.
Yeah, and I'm half Jewish.
He's half black, half Jewish, and half gay.
Yeah. Diversity trifecta, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like if you were hitting the slots, it'd be a 777.
So I was talking about this with Dr. Duke today on the show, that the Tuesday National Bugle Radio show. And, you know, we talked about, well, you have jury nullification, where this has become common in inner cities where black jurors refuse to convict black criminals. But now you've got prosecutorial nullification where black prosecutors are refusing to prosecute black criminals. It's getting very blatant.
Yeah. Well, how do you put an end to that?
What we're doing, we're doing our best. We're letting people know what's actually going on. And meanwhile, you've got people like Jacob Goodwin, and I wish I had his you know, the other two people who were sentenced with him, I should have their names memorized. I think one has a name like Ramos. I'm not sure. I can't remember the other name, and I apologize to them. I would like to be able to say all their names. We got a lot of political prisoners who literally didn't do nothing wrong. Well, in the case of Jacob Goodwin, and, you know, this is a lesson to be learned, he was defending somebody. You know, we can all watch the video. And he was defending this older man who was being attacked by three blacks outside a parking lot in Charlottesville on that fateful day. And he was being attacked, and this one, DeAndre Harris, had clubbed him upside the head with a maglite, a big flashlight. And, of course, you need the flashlight, you know, because it's a hot summer day. It's noon on a hot summer day in Charlottesville. How are you going to see your way around without a giant flashlight, obviously, right?
Yeah, like a maglite, right?
Yeah, it was a maglite. It was literally a maglite. And so he clubbed this guy upside the head, and then I guess Ramos or somebody else pushed him to the ground, and for 2 or 3 seconds while he was on the ground, he got kicked a couple of times. And so here's the thing, and this is amazing, but, you know, in Virginia, basically, they have a law that even if somebody's attacked you, if you kick somebody while they're on the ground, then you're committing a crime. It's like, is that UFC rules or something?
No, it's state law.
Yeah, it's state law. So these guys are facing 8 years in prison, not just facing them. They've been in prison for a year and a half. They've already served a year and a half of what's going to be an eight-year term and an eight-year sentence. And do we really expect them to get out early?
It seems to me, and I, of course, as everybody probably can tell, I'm no you know, experience in criminal law, but it just seems to me like the prosecution would have more of a case for, you know, this kind of punishment if, you know, the victim had sustained more, you know, bodily injuries, which wasn't the case.
Well, okay, so this guy, DeAndre Harris, he did have cuts in his forehead, so he bled a little bit. But it was no big deal, and he had clubbed somebody upside the head. You can see it. He smacked him upside the head.
Anybody with diabetes, they get cut. They bleed a little bit, too.
And DeAndre Harris, I mean, so not only he started, it was an assault with, you could say, like a big club. Hitting somebody upside the head with a big club is assault with a deadly weapon. And yet all charges against him were dropped, and he was able to raise something like $160,000 through GoFundMe. And, of course, being a good boy who didn't do nothing, he bought a Mercedes, which he used as a prop for a rap video where he talked about all the crimes that he commits and how, like, you know, F the police and whatnot. You can watch his rap video because he's a good boy and he didn't do nothing. Well, we'll just let that sink in for a second. So Jesse Smollett's off. Okay, here's something else that Dr. Duke and I talked about. And maybe it's just brilliant minds think alike, but Tucker was kind of moving in this direction too. So Jesse Smollett, he has these associations. Okay, one is with apparently President Obama, or at least Obama people. You know, Obama's also from Chicago. But Kamala Harris. And I think I mention this last week on our show? The connection between Jesse Smollett and Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris had legislation that she had introduced along with Cory Booker into the Senate last year, an anti-lynching legislation. Well, supposedly anti-lynching, but when you actually read into it, it would increase penalties up to 10 years in prison for conspiring, not just conspiring to lynch and kill somebody, but conspiring to violate hate crime laws. And, of course, most of the hate crimes are intimidation or vandalism, like graffiti. right? And so conspiring to draw a swastika on a synagogue, for instance. And you know, how do you prove this? Somebody says something over social media or something, or you know, conspiring to intimidate. You say something that could be construed as being somehow threatening over the internet, and suddenly 8 years in prison or 10 years in prison, because that's what's involved in this. And she had been pushing this, and it wasn't going anywhere. But you know, it's called anti-lynching. It's called the Anti-Lynching Act. And then Jussie Smollett stages a lynching, a fake lynching hoax, and immediately the thing passes unanimously in the Senate. Was Kamala Harris a co-conspirator? That's the question. And we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake?
So we are back, and I had asked, because I had a friend who called me up and said, he told me about this law, and he was saying, you know, I think she was in on it. Was she in on it? And now, and of course, there's pictures of her and Jussie Smollett at demonstrations together, and, you know, she talks about how she's good friends with him. So is it inconceivable? Probably not. I mean, probably she didn't actively participate in this, but maybe she did. I think there's a lot more evidence for that than there was evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. So, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, you know, I hate to be racist, but, you know, people tend to stick with their own kind.
Well, her kind, as I've mentioned before, is that she's Australian Aborigine. Because I saw her down by the Billabong roasting a wallaby. Right?
Well, speaking of that, you know, when Trump was elected, it sticks with me that there were a lot of Asians that seemed to say minorities need to stick together, and it just seemed like anybody that wasn't white just needed to stick together, and maybe that's what that reminds me of.
Well, that whole POC, people of color, this has been a way to try to do just that.
And I remember I said last week there, you know, that there's some Asians that, you know, are very light, but
mm-hmm. Oh, and so what do Chinese have in common with blacks or Hondurans in terms of their interests? And the Chinese and the Indians, the Asian Indians over here, for the most part, earn a lot of money. In terms of religions, Hindus are second only to Jews in terms of their income. And so they don't have economic interests in common with these other minorities. They don't. And they don't need to destroy whitey in order to get into colleges and whatnot. They don't need the affirmative action is not really hurting them, but they think it's hurting them, and so they don't have any vested interest in perpetuating affirmative action. So they don't have similar interests. And I know that at a lot of public schools, they'll have assemblies or meetings for people of color. They have these people of color type things. So, and of course, you can't have a meeting of whites. So this people of color identity is completely artificial, and it's Shlomo. It's Shlomo who's trying to weaponize Asians, whose economic interests and social interests, I mean, they don't have an interest in integrating schools, or you know, they don't have an interest in this stuff. But it's to try to weaponize them against whitey, and that's Shlomo's agenda. And it's worked to a large extent. If you look at voting patterns, the Asians do tend to vote Democrat. And one thing that the Indians, in particular, but the Chinese to an extent, do have shared with the not with the blacks, but with the Hispanics, is the interest in being able to have chain migration, to bring over their relatives. Now, the thing about the Chinese is they don't have many relatives because of the one-child policy that was in effect throughout the 80s, 90s, 2000s, up until a couple of years ago. So
does, like, the big mass of them, like, make up for that?
Well, there's a big mass, but they can't chain migrate. They really can't chain migrate. The only person they can bring over are their elderly parents. You know, could they bring over an uncle, or could the parent bring over somebody? Perhaps. But basically, because none of them have, they don't have brothers and sisters. So, and you know, the younger generation that's coming over as students, their parents may have even been born during this period of this period of the single child policy. So they don't have the interest in chain migration, but they do want to bring over their elderly parents. And so that's one thing. And of course, the elderly parents are expensive in terms of Obamacare and whatnot.
Healthcare.
Yep. So anyway, I think that's it. We're out of time. But thank you so much, Fulbert, for doing the show again, the Slattery Applebag Financial Report.
Well, thanks once again for having me over.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.